Romans 6, beginning in the 12th verse. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our second reading comes to us from Matthew chapter 10. It says there, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive a reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Would you pray with me? O God, this day you do offer us living water. And we pray that in this moment we might more fully open ourselves up to take a drink of that water which gushes up to eternal life, that water which frees us from the burdens of our imperfections, that water which gives us life and sustenance and purpose. Oh God, we love you. Help us to fall more in love with you as your word is proclaimed. Oh God, we love our neighbors. Help us to fall more in love with our neighbors as we hear your word proclaimed. Oh God, may we embody what eternity looks like. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Many of you have heard about my family's rescue pup, Beamer. I call her my puppy, but she's 10 years old now. I'm told by Jonathan I'm not allowed to call her puppy anymore. Well, it's too bad. Just like Summer will always be my baby, Beamer will always be my puppy. Our family likes to joke about how lazy she is, but there are select occasions when she is the opposite of lazy. Very few occasions. One is when our mail carrier comes to the door with our mail and has the audacity to try to put mail through the slot. And when someone in particular, if they have a dog with them, is walking on the sidewalk across the street from our home while we have our front door sitting open so the dog can watch the world go by. And then also, when someone comes to visit, she's a rather enthusiastic welcomer. She comes up to them and she's maybe tries to jump and we have to tell her no. And if you just pay a little bit of attention to her for a moment and tell her you're happy to see her, then she's like, okay, I'm fine now. I'll go back to being lazy. With the exception of our mail carrier shoving mail through Beamer's slot most every day, Beamer loves to love on people. She's so excited when anyone comes by for a visit, however brief. She's all over them. Once you pet her, again, pay her a little attention, she's fine. She'll resume her job of making sure the floor doesn't float away. But I can never figure out her fascination with barking at people as they walk by the house. Is she saying, hey, come visit me, I want to love you? Or might she, and this is the most likely scenario, be saying, how dare you walk down the sidewalk on my street? I'm going to bark super loud and obnoxiously and sound absolutely ferocious so you know I mean business. And then you won't come anywhere near my home or my humans except for later on today and then twice tomorrow and twice the next day as you walk your dog. The funny thing is, our family can be outside planting flowers or raking leaves or whatever in the front yard with Beamer by our side. A dog comes by walking their owner. Beamer barely seems to even acknowledge their existence. No barking. No ferociousness. Just, oh well. When she's inside the house, she lets him have it. When she's outside the house, she's practically oblivious to anyone outside of her family. She couldn't care less. It's not like she's a big scaredy cat who loses her confidence when she can actually get to people. She just seems indifferent. In our gospel reading today, Jesus talks about welcome. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. In other words, there is a direct correlation between loving Jesus, loving God, and loving the people around us. It is not possible for us to authentically love God without loving our neighbors. It cannot be done. You might think, well, you can love others without loving God. Okay, I understand where you're coming from, but are we using the same definition of love? In most cases, we're not. Loving as God defines love is far more patient and generous and self-sacrificial, among so many other things, than most any other definition of love that I can think of, at least. Though you're welcome, see what I did there? You're welcome to debate me on that. Anyway, if someone comes to my door and I show them God's welcome by inviting them in, or maybe in this day and age, offering to step outside and talk from a safe distance, or help someone who is in need of assistance, I'm not just welcoming them, I'm not just loving them, I'm welcoming God into my home, into my life. However, if I stand at the door and bark at people to go away, how dare you come to my door? How dare you cross on the other side of the street? Hey, leave me alone. Okay, there are some instances where setting boundaries is a good thing, but there's almost always a way to be welcoming, to be loving towards someone without allowing ourselves to be taken advantage of. So, okay, Melody, don't stand at my door barking at people. Be loving and kind to anyone who comes to my door. I get it. That's relatively easy. I can do that. But wait, there's more. With Jesus, there's always more. He never lets us off easy. There's that whole God-Jesus definition of loving coming back to haunt us again. Jesus is talking to his disciples saying, whoever welcomes you. In other words, Jesus is sending his disciples out to go and be agents of peace and healing and wholeness, agents of love. Yes, loving someone who comes to your door is the righteous thing to do. But more than that, love the prophets. Even when we tell you something you don't want to hear, but is no less true or right. Love the prophet. Love those who come your way, but more than that, love the righteous, even when their righteousness points out how wrong you are. And I don't know about you, but man, I do not like it when someone points out that I am wrong. Do you? Love the righteous. And it doesn't say it in this passage, but it does elsewhere in the Bible. Don't just love the prophet or the righteous, love also the unrighteous as God loves you. As Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for your sins proves God's love toward you and all the unrighteous. But even more than that, oh man, Melody, can you stop now? This is really already difficult enough. Sorry, it's in the book. I didn't write it. But even more than that, don't just wait in your home. Don't just wait in your church or wherever your turf may be. For that stranger, the prophet, the righteous and unrighteous, don't just wait for everyone to come to you. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one. Implying that we're not just supposed to sit back with the door propped open to our house, the door propped open at the church, waiting for someone to come to us. That's great, but we're called to more. We're supposed to go and meet people where they are, to be instruments of peace and healing and wholeness, agents of love. And yes, that means we have to get a little bit more creative with how we do that in this moment that we're living in. But loving God, welcoming people, welcoming God is not conditional. It is not contingent upon the verve of our world. We've got to go out and find the people and love them as God loves them. And when we do that, the love that we have for our God to be brave enough to do the thing, to go and be welcoming, is on full display. When we love the people around us, near and far, we are authentically living our faith in Jesus and the one who sent him. Because it is our love for God, it is our gratefulness for the sacrifice Jesus has made for us. It is because of our faith that we overcome our fear, our uncomfortability, our lack of confidence and wisdom to be brave enough to love as God loves. And there are moments when this authentic love is on full display in our church. I'm not too humble to say it. Our church does not have a bunch of programming. We don't have a calendar that's chock full of events every weekend and throughout the week, even when a pandemic isn't happening. We put our focus on loving God and pouring into people so that we each become stronger disciples of Jesus Christ through worship services like this one and Messy Church and strategic mission opportunities, so that we each fall more in love with God, and then we cannot help but fling the doors open. We cannot help but burst out of here and authentically love people. People of our church march and write letters and make phone calls to politicians like no other church that I have ever been a part of. We serve on boards and charities and are part of community groups and volunteer for things that do not have the name of our church plastered across them. Why? Because we are a walking advertisement for a compassionate and gracious God. And sometimes we get what I like to call respectfully feisty with one another. Not because we don't love each other or our neighbors, but because we love a whole heap. And it's all part of our process for figuring out how we best live out our faith authentically. How best do we love our God? How best, in this moment that we're in right now, how best do we welcome as Christ welcomes us? But we're not perfect. There are times when it takes us a while to allow God to open our eyes, to open our ears, to open our hearts to specific opportunities God is offering us to love all the people. And so my hope and my prayer this day is that each of us, that we might get just a little bit braver, would open our hearts up just a little bit more, be a little bit more vulnerable as we seek to love all the people. Amen.